All right, let me invite you to song number 143, verse 12. Psalm 143, verse 12. Psalm 143, verse 12 reads this way. It says, "And of thy mercy cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight, once again thanking you for the privilege of gathering together as your people in your house, Lord, as your body of believers, the local New Testament church. We do ask that you bless your word and, Lord, open up our hearts and minds to hear from you. And we do pray for the filling of your spirit that you might guide us into your truths. And, Lord, that we might truly be the witnesses you've called us to be of your great grace. Again, Lord, just bless your word, bless your people, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is simply, "For I Am Thy Servant," right there in verse 12, "For I Am Thy Servant." Tonight we'll consider three marks of the servant of God. Just because we are saved, just because we have eternal life, that's what God has done for us. And then we have another opportunity that the Lord might make us his servants. But that is something that is on top of our salvation. So just because we're saved doesn't mean that we are serving the Lord. And so God wants us to understand what it is that marks the servant of the Lord. So the first thought is, and we'll see that here in verse 1, is prayer. That marks a servant of the Lord, a prayer life. And then secondly, trust marks the servant of the Lord, trust. And we can intertwine that word with the word faith. Anytime you see the word faith there, just it's simply trusting in the Lord. And then the third part is deliverance. Deliverance. So prayer, trust, and deliverance marks a servant of the Lord that goes beyond salvation. And that's the work of God taking place in our lives. And so with that said, let me back you up to verse 1. And let's consider this matter of prayer. Hear my what? In verse 1? Hear my prayer. So this is a servant of the Lord. He says, "I'm thy servant," there in verse 12. And one of the things that marks a servant of the Lord is a prayer life. And so this is what's important, that we not only have eternal life, but that we become servants of the Lord. And that is something that we ask God to work out in and through our lives. It's not anything that we ever do in our own strength. And so God wants us to call upon him. And don't we need him for strength? We need his strength. We need his power in our lives. And so he says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications, plural. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness." So God, listen, listen to the plea, listen to the call here of David. He's saying, "Lord, I'm looking to you for everything. Lord, I want you to meet the needs of my life that I might be a faithful servant to you. I know from the Word of God what it is to be a servant of the Lord, but I also know as I look to my own strength, I don't have it. I can't do that. I want to be a servant of the Lord. So, Lord, I'm going to call upon you to fulfill that work in my life," which again brings us to the place of praise. And so he says, "Listen, answer me, and in thy righteousness," he says here at the bottom of verse 1, "and enter not into the judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified." In other words, I'm not going to look to my strength. I'm not going to look to my righteousness. I don't have it. And so Lord, I don't want to enter into judgment with you, Lord, because I'm guilty. I know that I can't do anything, but I do know that you have redeemed me to glorify your name. When God created Adam and Eve, what was that purpose for? Was it not to glorify the Lord? Absolutely. And when he spared Noah and his family, was that not also to glorify the Lord? And when he separated Joseph unto himself, every child of God has the opportunity to be the servant of the Lord. But listen, this is not something that God forces on anybody, just like he didn't force us to be saved, did he? Listen, we saw his love. We understood what he wanted to do for us. And so we said, "Lord, save me." Amen. "Lord, I see your love toward me. I see my inability to stand in my own righteousness. It will never happen. I see myself as you see me, undone. I can't do anything. Listen, and once again, even if there was a human being that was possible to never sin, they're still guilty because we're born sinners, right? We don't want to think like, well, what's a sinner? Somebody who sins. Well, yes, that's true. But the truth of the matter is that even if you don't sin, we're still born sinners. Amen? And so God wants us to make sure that we don't enter into Him and say, oh, Lord, let me tell you what I do for you, Lord. I'm not like this publican over here, but this is what I do for you. And God says, which one went away justified? The one that was beating on his chest and asking God for his forgiveness and for his mercy. And so may we understand that as well also in our own lives. So verse 3, he says, for the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Now, that's powerful, isn't it? I mean, that's a low place, but I want you to know our flesh also is our enemy. Our flesh can deceive us. Amen? We need to look to the Word of God and not lean to our own understandings, but in all our ways acknowledge Him and never consider anything that comes from outside of the Word of God. People would tell me, well, surely it's okay to do this, right? When I was working in the secular realm, they would find out eventually, you know, when I worked in the secular world, I didn't walk and say, listen, I want you to know I'm a preacher. I didn't do that. I tried to befriend them and so therefore get the opportunity to witness to them. But once they found out, they would start asking me, this is okay. They would say, this is okay. And it wasn't okay. And so you have to say, well, what does the Bible have to say about that? And they knew. They knew. And so they kind of got quiet a little bit. And so listen, we need to be careful as God's people to be the servants, faithful servants of the Lord in His grace, and not to excuse things that we know God says we ought not to be participating in those things. And so we need, Lord, we need you. I'm not going to dispute these things. I'm not going to smooth these things over and make them look okay. If you say they're wrong, Lord, I want to say they're wrong. Amen? If you say they're right, then I want to say they're right. Do you know what God says is right? A prayer life. Amen? God says you'll never go wrong praying and calling upon the Lord. You'll never go wrong. God will give you His grace. And by the way, have we walked with the Lord so long that He can't teach us anything new? I like to ask, you know what I like to ask the Lord to teach me? Teach me how to pray, Lord. Teach me how to call upon you. Lord, bring me into your presence. Lord, show me your way. Show me your will. Show me how to walk worthy in your sight by your power and by your grace. So he says, verse 3, for the enemy hath persecuted my soul. And again, the flesh is also part of our enemy. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness. By the way, the world also is an enemy, isn't it? The world is an enemy of the Lord. That was not anything new with the Lord Jesus Christ. The world has always hated God. Amen? And so the world is an enemy. The world will tell you, do it your way. Oh, wait, have it your way. All these things, right? All these commercials they bombard us with, break all the rules. What, you remember that commercial? Break all the rules. And it was something to do all, it was for a restaurant. I don't know if it was Burger King or McDonald's. Do it your way. No. We need to do it God's way, or we're going to run amiss, if you will, and miss out on what God has for us. So he says, I've been dwelling in darkness as those that have been long dead. Then verse 4, therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. So this is the sweet psalmist of Israel, David, right? And so if David was brought to this place, is it possible that we can find ourselves in the same place? Amen. So let us follow the prescribed method here to come out of that place and call upon the Lord and pray and say, Lord, I'm in a fix here. I need you to fix it, right? I'm really in trouble and I need you to be the restorer of my soul. So the first mark of a servant of the Lord is prayer. The second is trust, right? Verse 5. He says, I remember the days of old. I meditated on how many of his works? No. All that I meditated. Listen, I was I was thinking, this is trust, I was thinking about all of your works. What works could he possibly have been thinking about? He could have been thinking about the life of Joseph. Amen? I'm thinking about how you worked in Joseph's life. Was that not the work? How about this? I'm thinking about how you just spoke and everything's in existence. Amen? And then people get a little bit confounded, right? And they say, well, you know, from one planet to another planet, there's so many light years away that surely this creation has to be millions of years old. And they come to all these kind of crazy ideas. Well, listen, when God made Adam and Eve, did he make them babies or full grown? When God created the animals, were they little babies or were they full grown? When he talked about the food did he give Adam a bunch of seeds to get planting, get busy, or so everything was full grown? And then you have even creationists today that are spending all kinds of time debating on these different theories about why the earth is or why the universe is so old, because God made it that way. Amen. And listen, I'm not opposed to people studying that. But please, pray tell, what will that do for my salvation experience with the Lord? What will that do to know all these different theories other than in the beginning, God? In the beginning, God. You know what I'd rather learn about? Lord, how do I walk with you? How do I seek you and your righteousness and your will for my life? That will do more for me than to try to. And I'm not saying these things are wrong, but I'm just saying we can get off course and go to seed on things that will not change our lives for the glory of God. That's the old. I'm not looking to debate unbelievers. I will share the truth. The gospel truth is we're born sinners. Millions of years. Listen, all this other stuff, the most important thing that you need to know as a lost person, and I'm just speaking if I was talking to a lost person, is that we are born sinners, lost and undone, and there's no righteousness at all in us that God will accept. And so that's the gospel message. I'm not going to sit there and tell them where the angels came from, how the planets, you know, are in their orbits and this, that, and the other. God did it. That's the simple answer of it. But the most important thing is in our relationship that we think about and meditate on what God has done. How about this? Do you think David meditated on the parting of the Red Sea? You think he looked back and said, look how great our God, look how many times God has delivered his people. Amen? And so we want to meditate. Notice verse 5, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. He wasn't there, but he's got the written word of God. And he says, I muse on the works of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. And then he says, Selah, think about this, meditate. He says, I am reaching out to you, O God, to fill me with your goodness and with your righteousness. Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Now, I want you to think about something here. He's in a hard place, is he not? He's saying, but what is he doing in that hard place? What is he doing? He is meditating on the works of God. That's the best place to go as a believer. The worst place to go to is to look at your troubles. The best place to go is to look what God has done. That's going to give you faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our troubles will never give us faith. Our troubles will give us despair, and we won't know where the answer's at. God tells us where the answers are at, and our answers for life are in God. And so listen, so a servant trusts in the Lord. We can trust in the Lord how? By just taking note of all the many wonderful things that he has done. Do you remember the prophet when he was surrounded by the enemy and his servant got up and looked outside and says, oh, we're in for it now. And the prophet said, no, we're not. God opened up his eyes and he saw all the fiery chariots that were around the enemy. And so many different times, oh, Samson's in for it now. He took the jawbone of a donkey and whooped up on all the Philistines. Was that Samson or was that God in Samson? Amen? And so, listen, the same God that was in Samson, the same God that was in David, the same God that was in the Apostle Paul is the same God that's in us. And so that God, listen, my confidence is not in me. My confidence is in our faith, the faithfulness, the great faithfulness, the never-ending faithfulness of our great God.
Amen.
So he says this, again, verse 7, just for a moment. Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Hide not thy face. Did David ever see the Lord's face? No. But there's the Spirit of God that he's very well acquainted with. Did he see the face of God when David, when God allowed David to slay Goliath? In a sense, he didn't physically see his face, but boy, oh boy, did he not see the deliverance of the Lord. Do you think for one moment when David swung that rock and it hit the weak point of the giant, right between the eyes? That's probably where that term comes from. Hit him right between the eyes. Don't you know, he said, what a great God.
Amen.
Listen, he told him, today, this day, God's going to deliver you into my hands and I'm going to take your head from off your body. Remember, he had no sword in his hand. What was God telling him? You're going to use his and lob off his head. And so when that was fulfilled, don't you know David was going, wow, Lord. Please, all these people that see the work of God, they don't say, yeah, I expected it. They do expect it, but they stand in awe of God's great grace and great faithfulness. Verse 8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning.
Amen.
That's a good time to pray. That's a real good time to pray. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I what? I trust. So three marks of the servant is prayer, trust, and then deliverance. So very quickly. Again, verse 8. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto thee. Do you know what David knew? He's one step away from walking in the wrong direction without God. Without God. I don't know how people expect to walk faithfully. I don't know how God's people, saved people, expect to walk right with the Lord and don't pray. I don't know why God's people who are saved don't understand why they sin and they fall in sin and they don't pray. See, they're not trusting in the Lord. We trust in ourselves. We've all gone through that to one degree or another. And then we maybe get mad with ourselves and we pick ourselves up and we dust ourselves off and we say, Lord, I'm going to retry it. I'm going to try harder next time. And God says, well, let me know when you're tired and call on me and I'll help you. And I'll show you how to do it.
Amen.
See, God always wants us. See, I'm going to try harder is trusting who? Me. Lord, I need you is trusting who? Lord, unless you do it, I'm going to fail. That's trusting who? That's trusting the Lord. All right, so now the last thought, three marks. Again, prayer, trust, and the last one is deliverance. Ready? Verse 9. What's it say? Deliver me. Deliver me. Deliver me, Lord. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Don't you like that? God's our hiding place. Lord, I need deliverance. I need deliverance. You know the greatest place I need deliverance? You know who the greatest foe is in my life and yours? That's right, ourselves, isn't it? I'm my own greatest enemy. Lord, deliver me from me. Do you think God will hear that prayer? Do you think that prayer will honor the Lord? You know, listen, God has to bring us to that place, to where we understand we need deliverance from ourselves. We don't need God to make us stronger. That's not his plan. We need God's deliverance in our lives because this way he gets the glory and we walk away awed. Listen, just fathom this thought. We will always fail the Lord if we do it in our strength. God won't let it succeed. And once we learn that lesson, we start calling upon him. And I'm a little bit hard-headed, and so it took me a little longer, but praise God. He got through. Amen? And I appreciate that. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do what? Teach me to do thy will. I don't know how people expect to do the will of God and they have no prayer life. Or little to nothing. Or they just kind of, you know, throw up not that God doesn't hear those things, but boy, listen, if you were taking an interview and you needed a job that was important to you, would you do everything you needed to do to get that job? If you were auditioning, you know, for a job or whatever it might be, it would be on your mind, wouldn't it? If it was something that's important to you. Much more important than anything on planet Earth is our relationship with God. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Did you get that? David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, lead me into the land of uprightness. We could have titled the message that way. Being led into the land of uprightness. I like that. That is a land, you know. Do you know who the king of that land is? God. The land of uprightness. And by the way, we can't get there without him. We can never get there without him. So he says, lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me. What does that mean, quicken? Made alive. Made alive. You have to. So notice, quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy what? If God doesn't make us alive, we will never be righteous. Now, we've been given God's righteousness. That's eternal for salvation. But to walk in God's righteousness, you've got to get that from the Lord. I've got to get that from the Lord. We don't have it in and of ourselves. For thy righteousness' sake, verse 11, bring my soul out of trouble. Amen? And then cutting off our enemies, which really are our sins, this is the application for you and I in our relationship with the Lord. Again, verse 12, here it is. Out of thy mercy, I like that, out of your mercy, cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I'm thy servant. Lord, allow me to be faithful to you. Clear the path. So again, what are the three marks of the servant of God? Prayer, trust, and deliverance that are actively involved and engaged. You know why? Because we're seeking and we're praying and we're trusting and we're watching God deliver us. That's why everybody keeps coming back, that comes back to God. God is working in their lives, and it's something that it's exciting when we see God work for his honor and glory in our own lives. Amen? Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word, for the reminder, Lord, of what it is that the work that you do in the lives of your people to make them servants. It's your work. We just simply need to trust you and call upon you and, Lord, watch you work in our lives. Bless Northwood Baptist Church. May you build her for your honor and glory. May we see great and mighty things that you are doing in our lives for your honor and glory. Build Northwood Baptist Church for your honor and glory in all your churches. And bless us as we break off for prayer, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.